Welcome to the course Project Risk Management Overview for Clinical Leads. I'm Donna, and I'm a senior project leader at Quintiles. Lena, who has recently joined our team as a clinical lead, needs help to prepare for our project with Vistellas Pharma. In this course, you will see me help her understand the various aspects of risk management. This course will help you and Lena identify the fundamental concepts and processes of risk management. By the end of the course, you will also be able to identify your responsibilities as a clinical lead around risk management. Sure, Lena. The risk management process at Quintiles involves six basic steps that help in executing robust risk management. These are: plan risk management, identify risks, perform qualitative risk analysis, perform quantitative risk analysis, plan risk responses, and monitor and control risks. Planning of risk management is the first step in the risk management process. It is the first step in reaching an agreement with all the project stakeholders and obtaining support for the risk management process to be followed throughout the project lifecycle. In short, it is the process where the project leader defines how to conduct risk management activities for a project. Here, the project leader also identifies the key data points with the operation team leads. These can be used to focus on the risk management activities. Some examples of key data points are primary or secondary efficacy endpoints, data to support inclusion and exclusion criteria, discontinuation criteria, investigational product management, informed consent, or serious adverse event reporting criteria. Stakeholders on a project could be both external and internal. Project sponsors, customers, team members, groups, and departments participating in the project are all stakeholders. It is a common mistake to think of customers as a single entity when actually each customer is made up of multiple entities. Most projects have a diverse number of stakeholders depending on their size, type, and complexity. Stakeholders, if not managed right, can have far-reaching consequences on the project and its deliverables. Stakeholder analysis based on the level of interest, individual expectation, importance, and influence of the stakeholders is critical for successful execution of a project. Stakeholder analysis involves two steps. First, identify all the stakeholders, including their stake or interest, level of commitment, and degree of influence. Next, for each stakeholder, define the type and level of risk information they require, the purpose for which they require it, the required timing and frequency of communication, and their preferred medium or format for delivery. There is an assessment sheet that project leaders use in consultation with other team members to perform stakeholder analysis. This analysis helps to ensure that the outputs of the risk processes are communicated specifically and precisely, so that each stakeholder gets what they need in the time span and the format that they prefer. Ralph, the project leader for the study, has sought Lena's help for classifying the stakeholders. Which category of stakeholders does Esther from Vistellas Pharma fall under? Since any delay in the delivery of the rescue medication can delay the project timelines and Esther is responsible for looking after it, she is a powerful stakeholder. Sleeping giants are powerful stakeholders who support the project but display low levels of interest. They need to be awakened to raise their commitment to the project and maximize their positive inputs. Since any delay in the delivery of the rescue medication can delay the project timelines and Esther is responsible for looking after it, she is a powerful stakeholder. Tripwires have low power, low interest, and negative attitude that is likely to hinder the project. Therefore, Esther is not a tripwire. Since any delay in the delivery of the rescue medication can delay the project timelines and Esther is responsible for looking after it, she is a powerful stakeholder. Acquaintances have little power in any project. They are low-interest backers who should have been informed but do not need to be a top priority unless their levels of power or interest is increased. Therefore, Esther is not an acquaintance. Since any delay in the delivery of the rescue medication can delay the project timelines and Esther is responsible for looking after it, she is a powerful stakeholder. Friends have little power, but great interest and a positive attitude toward the project. Therefore, Esther is not a friend. This process step includes determining which risks and opportunities may affect the project and then documenting their characteristics. This enables the project team to anticipate events and plan for their outcomes. In most cases, risks are specific to the given project. You can categorize risks in different ways, such as indication, customer, and subject population. Such classification helps track risks through action owners and stage of the project. Risks are monitored by the project management analyst in risk management section of the Enterprise Project Management System, or QRPM-PPM. And the risk log is kept current by periodically identifying new risks and reassessing previously identified risks. It is important for you as a clinical lead to understand all the nuances of the project in order to be able to identify the risks relevant to the project. Lena realizes that she is not aware of some of the aspects related to her project with Vistellus Pharma and decides to learn more about it. What should she do to prepare herself better for the project? Reviewing project-specific documents and leveraging knowledge from those involved with the proposal and account or alliance management teams would help Lena prepare better. While it would help to meet the functional leads and learn about the project from their perspective, being the clinical lead, Lena is expected to understand the project requirement after reading all project-related documents. While meetings with customers would be a major source of information, the right way to go about this would be to be completely aware of the existing documents and the previous communication with all the stakeholders before scheduling any such meetings. One of the ways to identify risks is reviewing project-specific documents. Another way to identify risks includes the classical brainstorming method, where the team gets together with a multidisciplinary set of experts and generates ideas about project risks under the leadership of a facilitator. The brainstorming session could be a free-form session or a structured mass interviewing type of session. The intent of the session is to identify risks, categorize them by type, and in the process, further refine their definitions. After her previous discussion with Ralph, Lena knows that there will be a delay in receiving the rescue medication from the sponsor. She decides to document this as a risk in the risk log. How should she document it? In the next section, Donna explains the right way to document risks. Risk metalanguage is a tool that helps improve the quality of risk descriptions. It is very helpful in ensuring that the risk process stays focused on real risks. What you do is simple. You break down your risk description into three parts. These would be a definite cause, an uncertain event, and an effect on project objectives. For instance, in the risk around delayed delivery of the rescue medication, the correct risk description is: due to a slow manufacturing process, there is a delay in the delivery of the rescue medication to the sites. This will delay the startup timelines and therefore affect the project timelines and the budget. Here, delay in the delivery of the rescue medication to the sites is the cause. Delay the startup timelines is the risk, and affect the project timelines and budget is the effect. Remember that it is important to consider all the impacts, such as time and cost. Risk metalanguage is also useful in identifying risks, while moving forward from cause to risk by asking questions like, so what? And while moving back from effect to risk, asking questions like, how could this arise? Will help identify the effect and the cause, respectively. The qualitative and quantitative risk analyses help in the prioritization and ranking of risks. In the process step related to qualitative risk analysis, we assess the probability of occurrence of a risk and its impact on the project. During quantitative risk analysis, we analyze the effect of identified risks on overall project objectives numerically, Basically, quantify the risks in terms of cost and time. We use the probability and impact grid to evaluate each risk's importance and priority for attention. Such a grid, also referred to as the risk heat map, specifies combinations of probability and impact that help rate risks as low, moderate, or high priority. During quantitative analysis, the risk heat map comes into play. A good practice would be to focus on the top 20 risks relevant to the project phase. The risk heat map is a Microsoft Excel-based macro that uses the risk log information extracted from risk management section of the Enterprise Project Management System, or QRPM-PPM, to provide a quantitative representation of the top 20 project risks identified as high priority. It is important to reassess the risks regularly throughout the project lifecycle. You must watch out for the retired risks. Inadvertently focusing on these can make the assessment inaccurate. In this process step, you are expected to develop options and actions to enhance opportunities and reduce threats to project objectives. You can respond to a risk by avoiding, transferring, mitigating, or accepting the risk. Likewise, you can increase the probability of an opportunity by exploiting, sharing, enhancing, or accepting the risk. Risk responses should be evaluated throughout the project lifecycle during monthly and milestone risk reviews. Lena has identified and documented the risk related to the delay in receiving the rescue medication. What should be her risk response plan? Which of the following risk response plans seems to be appropriate? The sites can proceed with the SIVs. However, the sites cannot be considered enrollment ready until the rescue medication is received. There may be more actions that would be necessary to be initiated in the interim. Local sponsor affiliates may be engaged to procure the medication for the sites. It is important to ensure that any change in the scope is reflected in the work order through change order. The sites can proceed with the SIVs. However, the sites cannot be considered enrollment ready until the rescue medication is received. There may be more actions that would be necessary to be initiated in the interim. Local sponsor affiliates may be engaged to procure the medication for the sites. It is important to ensure that any change in the scope is reflected in the work order through change order. Changing sites at this stage of the study is not a good idea, since this will further delay the startup timelines. Strategy selection of sites is done during the pre-award phase. It includes several key opinion leaders that Vestellas Pharma wishes to have associated with the project. The countries selected also include reference to Vestellas Pharma's longer-term marketing approval strategy and cannot be changed at this stage. Accepting the risk can be a good option for risks with low impact probability rating. As this is a high probability and high impact risk, it is not considered a good option in this scenario. Changing sites at this stage of the study is not a good idea, since this will further delay the startup times. Strategy selection of sites is done during the pre-award phase. It includes several key opinion leaders that Vestellas Pharma wishes to have associated with the project. The countries selected also include reference to Vestellas Pharma's longer-term marketing approval strategy and cannot be changed at this stage. Accepting the risk can be a good option for risks with low impact probability rating. As this is a high probability and high impact risk, it is not considered a good option in this scenario. It is recommended that you reconsider your choices. The final step in the risk management process is to monitor and control risks. This ensures that the approach to risk management is continuously optimized throughout the project lifecycle. This is the iterative process of implementing risk response plans, tracking identified risks, reviewing and documenting the status of the risks already identified, identifying new risks, and evaluating risk response effectiveness. The response plans and triggers also need to be regularly reviewed and revised for continuing applicability. You got that right. You got that right. You got that right. Absolutely. Let me talk about a clinical lead's responsibilities around risk management in detail.
Oh, yes, please let me.
If you're involved in a project during the first phase, which is the pre-award phase, you are expected to participate in the review of the pre-award risk assessment created by the TSL. This is also when you understand the inherent risks and quintiles mitigation strategies before the bid defense. Once the project is awarded, the clinical leads are expected to attend a comprehensive risk assessment meeting involving the key stakeholders and repeat this at regular intervals across the phases. The therapeutic strategy lead identifies the strategy selection of the countries. If the strategy is flawed, it will lead to operational delivery difficulties for you and the team. There could be delays in recruitment owing to various factors. The enrollment timelines may be jeopardized due to many factors, like the complexity of the protocol, with multiple outpatient visits, making it unattractive to potential patients. During setup, startup, the focus is on proactively identifying risks. At this stage, clinical leads should mainly focus on understanding customer expectations and requirements. Here, they will also make use of the 6 risk management process steps. Some of the risks in this phase could be delays around opening sites. There could be delays in investigational product availability. Ineligible patients could be enrolled into the study due to non-standard lab ranges and inclusion and exclusion criteria specified in the protocol. In the conduct phase, you are expected to review and identify risks on an ongoing basis, in collaboration with the project leader and the project management analyst. Further, you should promote the realized risks to issues and document them as lessons learned in risk management section of the Enterprise Project Management System, or QRPM-PPM. The project leader updates the integrated project management plan and captures the changes from the baseline using integrated change control via the change control log. This helps prevent the loss of tribal knowledge about the project when key team members do leave. Examples of major roadblocks in this phase would be incorrect estimation of screen failure rates and dropout rates, increases in protocol deviation number, and delay in data entry. Clinical leads may also need to collaborate closely with the PMA with respect to monitoring and controlling risks. In the closeout phase, the clinical leads are expected to attend a lessons learned meeting along with the project leader, the PMA, the OTLs, and the project stakeholders. They are also expected to confirm with the project leader or the PMA that all information is captured in risk management section of the Enterprise Project Management System, or QRPM-PPM. It is important to be wary of any delays in collection of site documentation and meeting project closeout timelines. Be aware that some delays to contractual obligations could mean loss of revenue for quintiles. Although we do have 4 phases in a project, in my previous project, some sites were still hung up on approvals from the regulatory authorities, while others had already started enrolling patients. So I had to oversee risks for both the setup-startup phase and the conduct phase at the same time. Absolutely. Absolutely. In case issues arise, which they can at any stage, they need to be escalated appropriately. If not escalated and resolved in a timely manner, they can impact the delivery of project deliverables and potentially the relationship with the customer. All functional leads and project teams have the responsibility to escalate issues, whether they were or weren't previously identified as a risk. This escalation can be to the project leader for project issues or within their functional areas for non-project issues. You're welcome, Lena. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. I wish you luck with your study. Lena made a list of risks that were discussed in one of the status meetings that she attended. Drag the phases to the risks that are triggered in those phases, and then click Submit. That's right. You're headed in the wrong direction. In this course, you learned about the various aspects related to risk management at Quintiles. You learned about the fundamental concepts and the risk management processes in alignment with the project lifecycle and your role as a clinical lead in managing risks. You also learned about the types of documents you should refer to and the available sources of risk library information. You are now aware of some of the types of risks you are likely to encounter in the various phases of the project. This should help you in practicing effective risk planning. You should refer to the resources section in this course and reach out to your mentor or your line manager for any help or clarifications. Good luck!